Today's show is brought to you by Michigan UFO Contact, September 22nd, 2018, at the Lakeside Resort and Community Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Some of the speakers include Nick Redfern, Adrian Perrone, Bill Konkoleski, Erica Lukes, John Tenney, and the fabulous Steve Ward. And now, let's get on with the show.
And coming to you from the 2018 Michigan Paracon, it's the 222 Paranormal Podcast, starring your host Joe Shortridge and Jen Shortridge.
Hello.
Joe, we are back, year number two.
In
Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, with all our friends and familiar faces.
It was like a family reunion.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
Even people we haven't seen for a year, it's like we just saw them yesterday.
Yeah. Time flies. Oh my gosh.
It does.
Year has been a blur of excitement, though.
Yeah,
so,
a lot of stuff going on.
Tell everybody who's next to us and who's around us.
So on our microphone left, Linda Godfrey. It's so interesting talking to Linda.
And Patty's walking by. Hi, Patty. She has a site called Beastie. She knits, crochets. These cutest little alien and ghost dolls are adorable. Linda Godfrey's next to us.
Yep.
She wrote Weird Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Cryptozoologist that she's like very informative. She knows everything.
Yeah, so her books are on the Dogman of Michigan, mm-hmm, and other Dogman sightings. She has a ton. Right, tell everybody who's right across the aisle from us.
We are fortunate enough to be straight across from Adrian Perrin and her father, Roger Perrin.
Yeah.
And if you're not familiar with the Perrin family, if you've watched the movie The Conjuring, they are the family that the movie was based on.
Yep. And it's so interesting. We interviewed her last year, and if you guys want to go back and listen to that show, it was an amazing interview.
It's, what, about 50 shows ago?
Probably.
Because it was a year ago.
Oh, my gosh. Time goes so fast. But, yeah, just very interesting. You know, they grew up in that house. They had all kinds of paranormal and poltergeist activity. She's written 3 books on it. Mm-hmm. They've made the movies. But she said that she was making her – last year she said she was making their own her own screenplay because
–
Tell everybody, you know, about the movie.
The movie, The Conjuring, she said, is about 5% real because when she gave them the screenplay or went over the screenplay to see about the movie, they actually told her that it was too graphic. There was too much going on that it would scare people or something. I don't know.
So to her, to their left, we have Tim Dennis from the radio
Darkness Radio.
Mm-hmm. Next to them, Jeff Ballinger. We got the Paranormal Detective is here, Paranormal Girl, Chip Coffey, Adam Barry, and Amy Bruni are here. Grant Wilson is here.
The Traveling Museum of the Paranormal.
Yeah, Nick Groff and Katrina Weedman are here. That's great.
We've got Cindy,
the Hungarian palm reader. Mm-hmm. She's a gypsy reader, and she's amazing. Lady Beth and Barry Whitecrow, who are both readers and Native American shaman. Mm-hmm. They're here again, and we just love them.
Josh Gates
is coming in.
He's here.
We'll get him on the show here. We got the Motor City Medium is here, Rebecca Schmuck. Hello, Rebecca, my good friend. Everybody's here. Everybody.
That's the thing. This
who is not here?
Michigan Paracon is the biggest Paracon in the area. People come from all over the country. We were talking to someone that came from California just to come to this event.
Yeah, so it's just been an amazing time so
Glass
far.
Glass Paranormal
Glass
is here.
Glass is in the house. Hello. So it's just one of the best conventions that we've been to and we go to, and we love to vend here because just meeting so many cool people, and not just the vendors, just the people that come in who just love the paranormal, love Bigfoot, love Dogman, love UFOs. You know, we have all kinds of. So it's just like you said, Joe, a big family
it
reunion.
It is. It's a family reunion.
And boy, did we have a good time last night.
Tonight's going to be even worse.
Yeah.
Or actually, Saturday night.
It's going to be great.
I keep forgetting it's Friday.
I know. We just have no concept of time because we're on vacation. It's great, though. Joe, what interesting things did you see at the booths here? Anything stand out to you that you're like,
nothing.
I have to have this?
Nothing.
Oh, hush.
No. The big thing about this show is you get to talk to everybody that you've seen on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and just the people are, everybody's just so happy
Lauren
to talk
Coleman's
to everybody.
Coleman's walking by from the International Crypto Museum. Celebrity sighting. We'll get him on the air. And our sister Peggy is here helping us out. Thanks,
yeah.
Peggy, for helping us out. We appreciate you coming down. And oh, you know who else is here? Our favorite John Zappas.
Zappas is here.
He
was throwing things at Adrienne Perrone when she was talking to someone.
Yep.
He kept sticking his head through the curtain and throwing things at her.
Yeah. So it's just a great time. You know, if you guys do go to paranormal conferences and you decide maybe if you only go to one or two a year, this is the one to come to. It's a long drive.
It is.
Don't get me wrong.
It's in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, which is
the top of the UP.
Top of the UP. As far as you can go on 75 without going into Canada.
Right. But, you know, it's well worth the trip.
Oh.
And it's beautiful up here. Oh, my gosh. My sister and her husband have a campsite. Their camper and their campsite is like, 5 feet from the water, and you could just sit there and watch the ships go by. And
through the Sioux Lock.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's just a beautiful place if you want to come visit. An excellent, excellent convention. You get so many cool things. You can buy artwork, books, jewelry, Bigfoot dolls that we have for sale.
Yes, our Bigfoot dolls.
Hi. There's people just walking by, and we're like greeting them all.
So anyways, we have some great interviews coming up. Let's get into those right now.
Yeah, great. Stay tuned.
We will be back after our interviews.
So we have Wendy from Sunspot, and she is also on the podcast. See you on the other side. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
And thank
with
you.
With her, we also have Scott Marcus, who is the author of Voices from the Chicago Grave. He's the director of A Hidden Truth. And he's also been on Mysteries at the Museum and Monster Quest. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Oh, we have a nice voice. Good voice for a podcast.
Well, thank you for having
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Guys, this is so exciting. What brings you here to this wonderful event?
Oh, it's right up our alley in so many ways.
Yeah.
All of the paranormal stuff, all the great people. Many of the people who are presenting here and who are here in the vendor room have been guests on our podcast.
Oh, cool.
So it's a neat opportunity to get to meet them face to face. Several of them have inspired songs that my band Sunspot has written and recorded. So it's fun to share that with them and also to just get inspired by more of the other paranormal stories we hear here.
We love the stories.
Oh, it's so great.
We're all about the stories.
Yeah, I mean, just the odd chance to be able to bump into John Tenney in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then corner him and say something interesting.
Yeah.
That
hey, hey weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, Scott, here I'm looking at your flyer and you have whatsyourghoststory.com.
Yeah.
You have Linda Vista picture here. You've got to tell us a story. What happened?
Oh my gosh. So much. I think it is the most haunted building I've ever been in.
Oh.
I was living in Los Angeles. I was working in production and I was pretty new to town. And when you work in film, every day you just get the call sheet, which tells you what time you have to be somewhere and the address. And little did I know that this early morning with the sun barely up, I was coming around a corner. And, oh, my God, am I in the right place? This huge, decaying, Art Deco-style, mid-1920s hospital. And so I didn't know what Linda Vista was at the time. I just moved out from Chicago, and, you know, that was my area of expertise. And every chance I could get, I would sneak away from set and just explore the building.
Okay.
And I found myself in a room where I felt very unnerved. And you couldn't trust your eyes, because at that time it was used as a film set more than anything else. Like, at that time, you know, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was shot there, tons and tons of music videos, and so on and so on. So I was trying to not let the environment influence me, because for all I knew, I was standing in a set. But I went home then and did some research, and the room I was standing in is thought to be one of the most haunted rooms.
Wow.
And I just felt like I was being sized up, like someone was right behind me, judging in a not polite way. And then I got invited several years later by Awesomeness TV to go back there to do one of the last investigations at that building before it was closed down. But the caveat was I had to be the tour guide to what they said was the Australian version of Jackass.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was like five or six 15-year-old boys that were trying to be funny and silly on camera, and I'm trying to do a professional investigation, not the best environment. And it was so hard. But eventually, we go up to the top of the tower, which we've never heard any ghost stories about that area. But, you know, I'm just trying to go around and get these guys to settle down a little bit. So maybe we go up all the stairs. I'll take some energy out of them. And I'm using the spirit box up there, and I say, if anybody's here with us, can you say the name of somebody in the room? And one of the boys' names came across the spirit box, and they buttoned up pretty quick.
Yeah.
And then a lot of equipment failed up there in that moment. I didn't know until much later. Like, the video cameras stopped themselves and then wouldn't record naturally, normally, until we got into the chapel. The chapel room, and suddenly everything could work again, except a lot of the kids started to feel sick.
Really?
So that actually made it possible, as dark as that might sound, to do an investigation, because they were feeling the effects of maybe not respecting the place at all. But I got a video up there on my whatsyourghoststory.com and YouTube channel as well of the highlights of that night, and it was spectacular, and really an honor to be able to be one of the last people to investigate location.
Yeah, we just had a similar situation. We were in a abandoned haunted hospital in Lorain, Ohio, and for last time they were going to let people in there, and it was scary. What was scary is we found open doors, so we didn't know if there was real people in there or spirits, which there were spirits, but that, you know, the living is scarier than the dead, right?
Heck yeah,
yeah.
Not even close.
Right.
That place was so insanely active that night. I was in the intensive care unit, and I kept seeing flashlight, you know, coming down the hallway, and I'm like, oh, here comes someone. Nobody shows up. So I flick on the lights, and the door didn't have any windows in it or nothing. So it was actually lights inside the room.
Wow.
And then when I was down in the emergency room, and the same thing, where I was walking through, and I always carry my K2 meter. And it just went nuts, just crazy, and then stopped. Like, if someone was running
past,
doctors running in the emergency room. And I was in there and saw flashlights coming down the hallway again. And I'm like, oh, here comes some more people. And then again, I looked out. You could see a quarter mile down the hallway, and there's nobody there, you know? It's just,
that's cool.
It's craziness.
That is. And on the topic of haunted hospitals, Wendy and her bandmate from the band Sunspot, Mike, just recorded a music video at Old South Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Okay.
That haunted hospital. They recorded an episode of their podcast there as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we have an episode where we interviewed the manager.
Okay.
who, of course, has tons of stories. And then a few of the people that were regulars there that patrol the place. But, we decided to see if we could activate any, you know, activity with some music in the middle of the night. So it was freezing cold and... It already had, I mean, being in a dark, as you know, being in a dark, abandoned place like that in the middle of the night is its own experience, whether there's any paranormal activity or not. But there was a hallway that they had reported seeing this tall shadow figure. And so we went up there to try to see if we could cause anything interesting.
Stir something up.
Yeah. So we have the video. We haven't spotted anything in it yet, but, you know, it's one of those things that I'm hoping somebody might spot
one
something.
One of these days you're just going to be watching and you'll be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or listen for something, you know, like the music is a trigger object.
Exactly.
So,
especially in hospitals when people aren't feeling well, a lot of times they'll listen to music, you know, to try to comfort themselves and whatnot. So, but yeah, that was a neat experience. And that place is huge, and they just let us loose and we could explore completely.
Wow.
I love that stuff.
When it really,
it kind of made, you know, like VIPs. We're just, yeah.
Right.
Anything we want. You
Did being in there inspire any of your music? Have you written anything about that yet?
Actually, I don't think we have yet a specific song to that location, but I think there might be something coming because it's been on our minds ever since.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So tell us just a little bit more about the podcast. Like, so how long you've been on the air? How many episodes you got? Where can people find you?
Yeah. Thank you. We've been around since, I think we figured out it was 20, 2015.
Okay.
Or 16. But we're about to release episode 211.
Awesome.
So thanks. Yeah. And it's a lot of fun. We've met so many people and we've gotten to come to a lot of these events and stuff, which is just opens up so many doors.
Oh, yeah.
Learn about so many things and you find out topics that you never even knew existed. So.
Yeah, then that's why we keep telling everybody, come to these events because you can talk to the people. You can talk to, and we love to talk. So
exactly. It's a perfect
match. Yeah.
Last year was our first time coming here to Michigan Paracon.
It was ours also.
Okay. Yeah. And Thursday night we came in and we ended up just going downstairs to the bar to get a drink. And it's about an 8-hour drive from Madison, where we're from, Madison, Wisconsin. And so we're ready to like unwind a little bit, and we ended up running into John Tenney and Robert Murch, the Ouija board expert. Yeah. Yep. And we were just chatting, and I think that might have been my favorite night of the entire convention, because the stories were just flying, and everybody's so excited.
You sit there and you're like, I want to be recording
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
It was hard to go to sleep. It was kind of like Christmas Eve, you know, when you're a kid, like,
It'd be one of those shows like I forget to hit record,
right?
You know,
isn't that always the best content? Yeah. Comes out at that time.
Always, so. Yeah. It's part of podcasting. You live and you learn. You know, especially in your first year, you really learn some lessons.
So many
about
lessons.
Podcasting.
Yeah, but yeah, we cover all forms of paranormal topics. You know, anything from cryptids to hauntings to parapsychology to. Whatever, we're open to suggestions, and our website is othersidepodcast.com. We're also on iTunes and all the other podcast directories, but
awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
And thanks for keeping another paranormal
podcast
going.
Let's keep it
alive.
I love
it. Love meeting my brothers and sisters.
And you're welcome on the show anytime.
Well, thank you so much.
I finally figured out how to do the call-in show thing, we can do that now.
We can do something a little bit longer and talk more about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah. All right.
Good luck, everybody. Thanks.
Thanks.
And with us today, we have Fijal with us. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Fijal, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and we want to also talk to you about this great book you have.
Well, my pen name is Fijal. My real name is Maria.
Okay.
And my story starts off when I was 5 years old in 1980. I had open heart surgery. And I had a complication, and I flatlined.
Oh.
And when I woke up, I could see auras. Now, in 1980, I was 5 years old. I didn't even know what an aura was.
Okay.
I really thought everyone could see auras, including myself. So, but the story doesn't end there. I told a nun... of my journey, and a school counselor, and they told me never to speak of heaven and angels again, and if I did, I'd be taken away and put in a different type of hospital.
No. Oh, jeez.
It's terrible. So when you started seeing auras, so you explain for some of our listeners who may not understand auras, could you just give a brief description of what the aura is?
Sure. An aura is, it surrounds your body. And different colors tell me a story of you, what's going on in your current life. Mm-hmm. But I have a double gift. I see two auras.
Oh, really?
I see a past life aura, which is in the back of the crown.
Okay.
And I also see a current life aura. And I can see if the past life aura bleeded into the current life.
Okay. Now, would a past life aura and a current aura be the same color to you?
Sometimes, yes.
Okay.
If you didn't accomplish or learn from your past lives, you would bring that learning objective into the current life.
Okay.
So you can use this life to learn that and then move on to the next higher level.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Hi, Amy Allen. Amy Allen's walking by. So anyways, so you have this gift. And would you see that on everybody? And do you see it on everybody?
I see it on everyone.
Okay.
But sometimes I don't. And in my second book, it explains to you, when I do not see an aura, what does it mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Interesting.
So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give it away.
know, so my quick question is, how many different colors are there? Are there like a certain set of colors, or is it just, you know, like the full spectrum?
Well, I see two blues. One's a dark blue, one's a light blue. Okay. I see two oranges. One's, I see fuchsia, I see red, mm-hmm. I see a gold, I see pink. Mainly those colors. I see brown. I do see black. I see white and gold. White and gold tells me that you're an indigo child, and that's what I specialize in.
Okay.
Could you explain to our listeners what an indigo child is?
So indigo children are children who have medium abilities, and they see spirits. They see a different type of shifted reality.
Okay. And with their auras, what color did you say again they would generally be?
They have gold and white, and it all started in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. So the people that were born in the 70s and the 80s are indigo children. People born in the 90s, and they're crystal children, okay. Also called star children.
Okay.
And the kids that from 2010 to now are rainbow children. And then after that will be the Aquarius children.
Okay.
So these children have special gifts. And
like clairvoyance, clairaudience.
Yes.
Mediumship. That
exactly.
Kind of thing. Okay.
So what I do is I educate parents and teachers of these type of children, because a lot of people, especially unfortunately in the medical profession, they're getting them confused and they're thinking that they're either possessed or they have autism, things like that that are can be resolved with different techniques like grounding. A lot of grounding techniques can help the children calm down. Mm-hmm. And continue with their day. So
with the children, when does the aura appear? Is it at the time of birth, or do they have to like grow into their aura?
That's a great question. Actually, 7 years old, I can see the child's aura.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven's a weird number, because a lot of times when children talk about their past lives, by seven they don't remember their past lives. It's almost like an exchanging point where the old body or old spirit moves into the new body.
That's true. Mm-hmm. As well, I would say that they've started being conditioned by the school system and by television. Like, you know, like the gentleman today was talking about fear-based things. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when fears, I think, start appearing. If you listen to children, they will tell you that they have an invisible friend.
Yeah.
Or listen to their careers that they want to be. Like, oh, I want to be a nurse. Like my niece says to me, I want to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. Well, I know that probably in a past life, she was probably a nurse.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So can your aura change colors at, depending on your mood, or do you always have the same one around you?
No, your aura changes colors all the time.
Oh, I see.
But I do want to clarify something about indigo children. Mm-hmm. Only certain children are indigo children.
Oh, okay.
Not
okay.
Everyone is an indigo.
Gotcha.
Okay. Indigos usually mean that they're also an old soul, which means
yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Which means they're wise beyond their years.
Okay.
And they do know things. The other thing about indigos, and indigos is like an umbrella. So the rainbows, the crystal, the Aquarius, they all go under this umbrella of indigo children.
Okay.
And you can't lie to an indigo, because the indigos, they have some kind of like, they just know when you're lying.
Yeah.
They have they can feel the energy.
Okay.
So each characteristic, like an indigo, a crystal, a rainbow, an Aquarius, they have their own types of abilities depending on the year that you were born.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I never knew that different years would spark different things.
Okay, so coming back to auras, let's talk about love.
Yes.
I've always thought, and this is my opinion, that when someone truly falls in love, it's their two auras that can match up. Because if you truly love someone, in the fact of, you almost sense when they even walk in the room and you don't even see them. And to me, I've always thought of auras as love also because of that connection.
Mm.
It's almost like that electronic connection that someone has.
I do see, I see couples when they're together, a certain aura.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually like it's like a salmon color.
Okay.
And if I see that, they're either soulmates, or twin flames.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And if they're twin flames, I really send them love and peace, because twin flames are probably the most difficult relationship that they will ever have.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Well, this is how I explain a twin flame. Think of a fire, and in order to keep the fire alive, you have to keep putting wood on the fire.
Okay.
So a twin flame is, in order to keep the relationship alive, there's a symbol for wood, and that would be drama.
Okay.
So you'd always have to have drama in order to keep the relationship alive.
Oh, I see.
Unfortunately, twin flames, there's a lot of conflicts, a lot of affairs, there's a lot of challenges. They teach you a lot, but they drain you a lot as well. So in order to keep the relationship alive, you have to continue to put wood on the fire, which is more drama. And they like to stay together. This is the funny thing.
Yeah.
They like to stay together because they actually believe of the history. They've had so much history, so they just like, oh, we have had so much history, let's just stay together. So twin flames, in my personal opinion, I don't think they should be together. It's like war every day.
Yeah. And I see that a lot with people, that they fight and they say they hate each other and all that, but yet they're together. What the heck, you know?
When it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's bad.
Yeah.
You know? It's like,
but it's almost like they need to feed on that drama, that they feed each other.
Yes, yeah. That's why it's twin flames. Mm-hmm. You got to keep the flames alive.
Yeah.
Now, I love to see soulmates, because soulmates just complement each other. They just flow. And like, if one's going having trouble, the other one just kind of steps in and supports it. It's so balanced relationship. Mm-hmm. But when I see a twin flame, and I do get clients that come and see me, I have to sometimes tell them that, you know, it's probably best to let them go.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell them that, because they believe that, well, we have to stay together. We have kids, or mm-hmm. we have so much history. But the truth is, it's not going to get any better.
There's always some excuse. You know,
it's almost like an addiction, though. Like, they're addicted to each other.
Yes.
Like, they can't be together, but they can't be apart either.
Yes,
and I've seen that many times in relationships. It's like two magnets. Sometimes they're flipped around and they're stuck together, and other times they're just pulling each other apart.
Exactly.
But tell us a little bit about your book. I see we have a book, Direct Every Angel to Heaven.
Yes. So it's actually the acronym of DEATH.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So when I flatlined, I met a guardian angel, and he's mine, and his name was Fijal.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, okay.
So I remembered his name, and I kept it, and I started channel writing through him.
Okay.
The Direct Every Angel to Heaven is my second book. It tells you about the before life.
Oh.
Everyone talks about the afterlife, but what happened before?
Yeah, so exactly.
How did your soul get created? Yeah. So, it's available on Amazon.
Okay.
But the book tells you what I saw in heaven.
Oh, okay.
More from understanding how the soul got created.
Mm-hmm.
And the stages of when you are going to die.
Okay.
What is going to happen. And I wanted to write a book that would explain how peaceful the journey is. Everyone thinks that dying is painful, and, mm-hmm. and a lot of people are scared.
Oh, yeah.
And so
I've always said that. Hey, I'm not so much scared about the death itself. It's what happens before. But once, and I've heard this so many times from people that have had, you know, near-death experiences, is that the pain just shuts off, and it's pure happiness.
It is. It's you don't feel anything. It's beautiful. And there's different stages that you go to. There's different dimensions that you visited. And I was fortunate, I did go visit the different dimensions.
Okay.
And I the one dimension I went to visit was called the Valley of Angels. And it was beautiful. And it was this beautiful valley. And it had like a table like this, but with white tablecloth. And it had 12 angels. And each table represented one soul. So we have 12 angels working for us.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Now, so each angels, do they work for us for different areas of our life?
Yes, yes. So we have 8 core that sit at the table. And this is going to be shocking. When we sleep, they meet.
Oh.
And it's in the book, yeah. So if you don't sleep, they're not going to meet.
Some good meetings. When I'm sleeping sure on my part. They're like, oh, Jennifer, what did you up to now?
Some of them hit their heads on the table saying, oh, I told her how to do this. I showed her different numbers. I showed her the path, and she still went the other way.
She still went to the slot machine.
Giant whiteboard behind.
And then they have the four other angels. So you always have a guardian angel full time, always. But you also have a part-time guardian angel. And the reason why it's part-time is because he's also called, or she is also called, the runner. So the runner does the coincidences, all the things that you're like, oh, I was just thinking about you, and appear.
Yeah, okay.
So the runner kind of has two jobs. And then we have the one that writes, like, he kind of does like the mapping of your life during the meeting. And then they have the Book of Life angel, and she kind of keeps track of everything what you've done.
Oh, so, that's amazing.
Yeah. Now, some of them do leave your table.
Yeah.
And they come here on Earth and kind of give you messages.
Okay.
So, like, you're like, sometimes if you could be at a grocery store and someone says something very profound, you're like, huh, how did they know that? They're kind of giving you a message.
Okay.
Numbers give you messages as well.
Hello.
Yeah,
hello.
Yeah, uh-huh. 20, yeah, 222. So, we have 12 angels, and the interesting thing is, and I'm not religious anymore, but 12 disciples.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
12 angels. Mm-hmm. So, now the movie that I really think that it symbolizes a lot is City of Angels.
Okay. Yeah.
So sometimes they will leave your table, your Valley of Angels, and they'll go and dress up in all black, and they will do like Tai Chi near the beach. So when I watched the movie, I was like, wait a minute, this looks really familiar. So I'm wondering if the writer might have had a near-death experience.
That's possible.
So you're not. It sounds like that you had this great experience, near-death experience. Sound like it was a long journey, but how long were you flatlined for?
I think I was flatlined for a minute and a half or something. It wasn't very long.
Okay.
But I believe Einstein said like an hour in heaven's like a week or 10,000 years.
Okay.
It's like it's a lot.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't even notice that you're gone. Like, they don't believe in time there.
Well,
we do here. Yeah. So yeah.
But it's just fascinating because, you know, like what happens in a split second on our plane, there could be, who knows, hours. You could have been, there for hours and visiting many rooms or just.
Yes, I went to different dimensions.
So cool.
Yeah. It's funny, when I flatlined, I could see myself up in the, like, looking at the doctors doing all these things, running around, and I could see myself lying on the bed, and it was just like, wow. And then I just saw a beam of light, and that's when I met Fijel, and he was at the end of the bed.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Do you believe that, like, angels, you know, are they're always with us? So my question is, can they intervene in your life and stop you from doing something, making mistakes? Or do you have that will and you just,
Yes, I've...
Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. I've probably died three times. There was two accidents I was supposed, like, I knew I was going to, like, crash into this truck.
Oh, my gosh.
It was slippery. I lived near the airport at the time, and it was so slippery. And, of course, I was going a little bit too fast, and I slammed on the brakes. The guy was turning left, and I said, I'm gone. I'm gone. And all of a sudden, I closed my eyes, and I woke up, and I was in the snowbank.
Oh, my gosh.
And the guy, he turned and he told me, he came and his father saw me, and they both came and they said, it was like your car just floated.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I believe to this day that someone lifted my car and put me, because I was on a very strange angle.
Mm. Okay.
That's interesting.
So they do. If they need you here or if they need to teach you something, they will intervene.
Okay. Yeah.
They really will. And then, of course, you'll be thinking, was that like paranormal? Like you'll be wondering. And they do that. So, but if you do need a lesson, though, they might not.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you have free will to do what you want, but they every once in a while just nudge you. Yeah. Yes. They'll get their big sticks out and go poink, poink, poink.
That's why they show you these numbers, right? Yeah. They show you numbers and people that just appear in your life when you need them the most. It's like, wow, like that person just appeared.
Yeah, definitely. We've had that many, you know, and we've been that person to people. Many times we've been places and people saw the 222 and they come at, right like, oh, I don't know why, but I knew I was going to see 222 today, and there we were. You know, it's just—I mean, it's happened many times. Yeah. But you know, like we're put in people's paths. Maybe our angels meet with their angels to make something happen for that person.
Oh yes,
amazing.
There's just so much out there, and I really think there's a shift going on, and people do want to know more.
Oh, definitely.
Of course, they are scared, and you know, and I always tell people, you know, just be patient, do your research, right? Like, don't just believe everything you hear or see on the internet.
True.
Yes, hello. That's why we bring everybody, you know, we come and we talk at conventions because you learn so much. There's so much wealth of knowledge just, you know, by reaching out and just talking to people, you know, like having people come to our booth and teach us things. Like, you know, I think it was, you know, meant to be that you stop by our booth and were able to share this information with us.
Well, I always say everyone can tell you a story or you can learn from everyone.
Yeah.
And it actually helps you to understand the energy. Like, you have to kind of like see, like, is this energy that I like? Am I going to learn something from it? You know, you have to kind of like analyze it, but let it go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you start absorbing all that energy that you're, yeah.
Yeah, so like when I go to these conferences, I always wear protective crystals because when you leave sometimes, you will get very exhausted.
Yes.
And that means that someone either took your energy or you picked up some other type of energy.
That's how I'm feeling right now. I'm like tired. It might have been the couple drinks I had last night, but
no, I can see your aura.
So tell everyone
hopefully
again.
Hopefully it's like rainbows and pink and with sparkles in it. No, I'm kidding.
But tell everybody again how they can get a hold of your book and if they want to get a hold of you, your website.
Well, my website is fijgal.com, F as in Frank, IDGAL.com. And my books are all available on Amazon. My first one is a bestseller, Crisis of Spirit.
Okay.
And that told you, that explains who I met in heaven.
Okay.
And then the newest one is Direct Every Angel to Heaven, and that's by Fijgal.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Yes, we appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And we will talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye. Well, here we are at the end of another long show.
It's been good. It's been bad. It's been fantastic.
Tiring.
Yes.
Woke up late.
Got snubbed by celebrities. Oh, my heart's broken. But anyways, no, Joe, honestly, we had a great time here at the 2018.
I don't even know
what year it is.
I have a hot tub calling my name.
Yeah, definitely. Time to relax, time to have some fun, time to get some food. You guys, if you have not been to the Michigan Paracon, you know, we've recommended it. It's just a great event.
Unbelievable.
With tons of, you know, very interesting people, tons of booze, tons of vendors. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get things that you can't get anywhere else.
You
right
can talk
here.
To people that you can never talk to. I mean,
right. Talk to the artist, talk to the author, talk to, you know, the podcast host.
But yeah, what a great event. We actually only got a couple of interviews out of it because we were so busy.
Yeah.
You know, which I love. Yeah. We come to the conventions to talk to people. We come to get interviews, but when a conference like this is just too much going on, I'm telling you.
It's great. But you know what? We just want to say thank you to Brad and his team from Upper Peninsula Paranormal Research Group.
Yeah.
For putting this on. And for everybody that stopped by our booth and said that they liked the show and
my fans.
Support the show, all Joe's fans, all the ladies
fan.
Who are throwing themselves at
my
your
one
feet.
Fan. Yeah.
And everybody who signed up for the email list and bought merchandise, you know, we really, really appreciate it. Give a shout out to our neighbor, Linda Godfrey, who Joe got her book. She has written a book called Weird Michigan, and Joe is so excited to read this book. But, yeah, amazing time, Joe. Any last thoughts?
No, just hopefully see everybody next year.
Yeah.
I mean, we're definitely coming back next year.
Yeah.
So this is your time to actually start making your plans and start making your way up to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. I know it's a very long drive, but I'm telling you, you'll come back next year and the year after and the year after, because it is unbelievable the people that you get to talk to here.
Yeah. So, you know, also, if you don't want to drive this far, you can catch us at the Mid-Michigan Paracon, and we're going to be giving away some tickets for that.
Yes.
So stay tuned to our Facebook page and our Twitter page, because we may have some interesting information, and you may be able to win yourself a set of tickets to get in. And it's a great value for that show. There's speakers, vendors, you can get readings, you know, just a great time.
Yeah. So anyhow, thanks everybody for listening this week. And we will talk to you next week. Remember, get up there on our Facebook page. Check it out. Another thing we haven't mentioned in a long time.
What's
wherever
that?
You get your podcast from, if you could leave us a positive rating and review, we would love that.
Yeah.
It does help out. You know, we don't push it a lot, but it helps us out. Gets us up in the rankings, gets better guests, all that jazz.
Yep. So appreciate everybody's support, and we will talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.